This week on Chicago Beer Pass, it's all about stouts. We're drinking some Imperial Blood from 18th Street. We're talking about Stout Fest and Dark Lord Day and just so much more. All that. What did we do these last 3 weeks, Zoe? What'd you make it to?
Yeah, because, you know, you got a cork popped out, boom, it just flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? What you think it is?
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Rah, rah, rah.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Hey, I'm Nick White.
And every week on Chicago Beer Pass, if you're a new listener, we talk about all the events we've gone to, drinking related, and all the ones we're planning to go to. And, of course, it's a beer podcast, so we're drinking beer on the show. As you can hear, it's being poured into our glasses as we speak. But Nick brought this one from his recent trip across state lines. What do we got?
Yeah, man, we got the 18th Street Imperial Blood, Russian Imperial Stout.
And that's blood with a U.
Yeah, B-L-U-D. So this is named after a Slavic spirit creature with a demonic power of disorientation. So, dude, so I'm out at 18th Street, right?
Yeah.
And so he's got a beer called Deal with the Devil, and he's got a beer called The Devil's Conclave.
Oh, man.
And now he's got Imperial Blood. So I was telling Patrick when he opened bottle this, I'm like, he's like, what's up with Drew, man? Is Drew all right? Like, what's he doing?
He's gone to the dark side, man.
Yeah, man, this is a Russian Imperial Stout brew with cocoa nibs, cinnamon, and Metropolis coffee.
Metropolis coffee?
Yeah, they used Metropolis's Red Line Espresso blend.
Okay. It's probably because for the blood, you know, you got to go red.
Yeah. See what's going on there.
I'm surprised they didn't go dark matter and get that unicorn blood.
Hmm. Yeah, right? That seems to be what everybody's using.
So this is a big beer, right? It's coming in like 10%.
Yeah. This beer's checking in at 11.2.
Oh, geez. Okay. I guess it's fitting, though, that we're drinking this big Imperial Stout on this episode because we got Stout Fest to talk about.
Yeah, man. So we went to Stout Fest, the return of Stout Fest to Goose Island, Clybourne.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This was this past Saturday. It's always the weekend before St. Patrick's Day, right? Or the weekend of St. Patrick's Day stuff.
It's always the weekend of, but last year it was the weekend before because they moved it to Wrigley.
Okay.
And I think and it was a good call by the staff because the last thing you really want is a beer festival in Wrigley on St. Patty's Day weekend.
Yeah.
Right? That's the last thing you want.
It's going to get silly fast.
You know, so that was a good call. This was probably the biggest one they've ever had. I think they said 29 breweries, over 70 beers.
Okay.
Yeah.
It took over the whole Goose Island, Clybourne. Like, not just the two back rooms and the upstairs. It was the whole bar, patio, downstairs.
Yeah, the cellar. Yeah. This was a legit, like, full-blown festival. I think this is the best one they've done because of that. Usually, Goose Clybourne is, it's like this family-friendly pub. You see a lot of older couples. You see a lot of kids there.
Right.
So what they tried to do was like, hey, you know, we'll keep the fest on this side, and then anyone who wants to come and order, you know, fish and chips, they can do that on this side. But that day, they said, you know what? Look, we're doing a proper festival. We're blowing it out.
But you could still sit down and order food from the kitchen, too.
Yeah.
So they had that going on. Because they didn't have any other, like, there was no free food. It was all, like, order food, correct?
Yeah, nothing free. And then the taps were spread evenly. And then there's so much seating there that it didn't feel like, you know, a festival at, like, a, you know, like at a hall or,
it wasn't,
you know,
like
at a party space. It wasn't like an event space.
No, it just felt like almost a crowded bar that night.
Yeah. Very similar on a much smaller scale, kind of similar to how it is when Hop Leaf does Kegs for Kidneys. Like each room has
kids.
A different
Kegs for Kids.
Kegs for Kids. You're right. Thanks. Each room has this different feel to it, and you end up having this really big, crowded bar house party kind of vibe, and you can float to different spaces, and the space changes when you go.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was nice. I really liked it.
Yeah, I got there around noon and stayed for a couple hours, mainly because I had to go out to the suburbs that night, so couldn't be drinking 10% stouts all afternoon.
Yeah.
Even though I wanted to, but I also kind of was done with stouts after like four of them.
They catch up to you fast.
I was like, okay. Yeah.
I kind of gravitated in the same way. I kind of gravitated towards guys that were serving, you know, some of the dry Irish stouts, like, you know, like Pete Crowley brought his Irish stout, or even like the guys from Scorched Earth, they brought a porter, which I really enjoyed. So I was gravitating towards that. Yeah, like you said, to keep pace.
Yeah, I just wanted, I think I just wanted a change, you know, they're so big and rich. And usually fantastic. I just wanted something to like go back to like reset my palate.
Yeah, this was really surprising because like a lot of people were bringing some really good barrel aged stouts. So like Temperance up in the loft, they had a Manhattan barrel aged version of their Might Meets Right. I really dug that. Perennial brought the Abraxas, but then they also brought an Imperial Stout that was just the Abraxas base. Ooh. with cherries added to it.
Okay.
That was really good. And yeah, and I really liked the Malevolence from Spiteful. It was a nitro version of it. That was like it was like a Mexican hot chocolate version.
Nice. Yeah. I did have this peanut butter milk stout from Four Hands.
Uh-huh.
And I was kind of disappointed by that one.
Yeah. I felt the same way. It was all over the place. I didn't really like it.
I was just kind of following people because they were way back in the patio at the end. And yeah. I was like, oh, let's see what's down here because I didn't even look at the list. And I was like, oh, peanut butter milk stout. That sounds interesting.
Yeah, it sounds good.
It sounds good in practice, but yeah.
But, yeah, and, you know, they're Madagascar. This is a contest just like a lot of these festivals are. So there's a two runner-ups and then there's a best in show, and you get to win this killer trophy. And the trophy's actually built by the same dudes who built their brew house.
Oh, cool.
So it's a miniature version of like a fermentation tank with like handles, and you can actually drink out of it.
Oh, I did see that sitting on the
It was sitting in the rear bar at Henry's Place, yeah.
That looks cool.
Yeah, so we do have the winners here.
Okay.
Madagascar won a runner-up award. That's a barrel-aged milk stout with vanilla beans from Four Hands. In second place was, surprise, surprise, Goose Island's Bourbon County Vanilla Rye.
What? I would never guess people would like that beer.
Yeah, and then BCS Proprietors 2014 took home the trophy. Okay.
I didn't have either one of these at the festival. I felt like I've had them. Mm-hmm. I wanted to try some other beers. And there was never a line for it.
Exactly. Yeah, they did a really good job of spacing everything out, which I liked. Yeah, so last year, for those keeping score, last year the Goose Island Pubs won with Nut Tulu. So it was a Goose Island Clybourne won this award. And then this year, Goose Island Fulton wins it with BCS Prop, which is the one with, you know, cassia bark and cocoa nibs and coconut water.
Nice. So. Did you see a line for any beer, or was it pretty easy to get?
Like there was a line for the 18th Street stuff, and I didn't get it. They had a barrel-aged version of their Bitches Bank Imperial Stout. It was called Bitches Be Crazy.
Oh, okay.
And, I missed out on that. That tapped in like 16 minutes.
Jeez, okay.
I missed that. So, but yeah, other than that, it flowed really easily. I think there were maybe four or five vendors in each section.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You
know, made it pretty easy to get beer.
Yeah.
I learned about Around the Bend, which I didn't know. They're a local brewery.
Oh, I didn't know
and,
that.
They're brewing at Ale Syndicate, and it's the fiance of one of the Chaos Homebrew guys was pouring that day.
Oh, cool.
So there was one on here that I still don't know about. I was going to ask you about it, see if you had heard about them. Green Star Brewing, they brought a beer called Moonless Midnight.
Moonless Midnight. I did have Moonless Midnight. That's with the Uncommon Ground people. They're brewing out of the same space, so they're an all-organic brewery.
Uncommon Ground, is that a coffee shop or something?
It's a restaurant up north.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
That was pretty. It was a solid stout. It wasn't anything, like, crazy. It was just, like, it was nice.
Yeah. Shadow of the Moon from Flossmoor Station, which took home a medal at JBF this year. That was there. The Abyss was in the cellar.
Okay.
That was there. I missed both of those. I didn't know the Abyss from Deschutes in Bend, Oregon. The Abyss is aged in bourbon barrels, Oregon oak and Pinot Noir barrels. So they age it in three different barrels and then they blend it. I didn't know that.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Nice.
So it was good, man. It was a good party.
Yeah, it was a good time. I felt like a lot of people had many of these beers too, and that's maybe why there wasn't a line for some certain things.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. A good mix of, you know, kind of like using like a concert reference, kind of how Lollapalooza has the headliners that people know, and then you have some of these up and coming acts that you don't know, and it helps traffic flow.
Yeah, I did see a lot of weird people sitting in the bar.
Weirdos, what are you doing, you weird motherfucking?
They were out with their computers. Like, I was like, what are you doing?
On a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
Oh, they were probably trying to get Dark Lord Day tickets.
Oh, maybe that's right. That would make more sense. I'm like, man, what do you do? Like, I get when people are there during the week and on their computers, maybe they're finishing up work or sending emails, grabbing a drink, whatever. But it's like, you're at a festival and you have your computer out.
Yeah.
I guess I was on my phone, so who was I to talk?
Yeah.
All right, Dark Lord tickets. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Did you scoop any up?
I have not scooped any up.
Okay.
So, yeah.
No, me either. I didn't. I had to go to Stoutfest.
I had to go to Stoutfest, man. And then I'm like, dude, yeah.
No.
I'm not into choosing, you know? I want to go to the party. Don't make me choose. So.
And but tickets for Dark Lord Day were $40. Mm-hmm. So if anyone picked those up, congratulations. Right?
Yeah.
You spent $40 to go to a party.
Yeah. And, you know, and you'll be bringing home some Dark Lord.
Mm-hmm. It's always a Dark Lord Day is a great time. So
it is. That's a fun party. Yeah.
I'm sure we'll talk about it more as it comes up.
Yeah.
Also on Saturday, I went out to Two Brothers in Warrenville.
Your favorite brewery. You're one of your all time favorite breweries since we've been doing this show.
I think I just like
is Two Brothers.
I just like to hate on. I like to hate on the Roundhouse because I think the Roundhouse was a mistake.
Yeah.
But I think the Two Brothers doing good stuff. And went there for dinner and some drinks and tried one of their new beers called Panther Fist, and it's a collaboration with Oscar Blues.
Okay. Now you were at the Warrenville one.
The Warrenville one, yeah.
Okay.
So I got a six pack of the Panther Fist. I'll bring some on next week and we'll try some out.
Yeah. I do like Two Brothers.
They just celebrated their 18th anniversary.
Jeez.
Like that weekend, like the day before was an 18th anniversary party.
Uh huh.
That's nuts.
Bros.
Because I grew up in Warrenville, and I don't remember them when I lived there. So, 18 years, damn. Yeah. That's nuts. Well, how about you? Did you make it to anything else? Check anything else out?
I made it to one more event. I went to 312 Day.
Oh, okay.
At Goose Island Fulton.
Yeah. It was actually a day, like, I made it to 312 Day, too, because it was
You're
it
like, was I was March alive on March 12th. Yeah. So, they held a free concert in the old barrel warehouse across the street from the brewery.
Mm-hmm.
And Mayor Hawthorne was the performer.
Yeah.
So he's like this, Grammy nominated kind of like, I don't know, pop kind of soul act.
Was this a free event? Was it an invite?
Okay. It was free, yeah. You had to RSVP for it, but there was no charge to get in.
Okay.
You know, so they invited 1,500 people. They greeted you with 312 green, 312 yellow, cans, endless cans of this stuff.
Nice.
Yeah. And then the coolest part was like, the gates were closed and the gates opened to the sound of their company band camp rolling up just like they do in the video on like a flatbed truck playing the 312 song.
Nice. So Ken was playing.
Yeah, Ken was playing. It was so cool. And as soon as he starts jamming out, everybody flocks over there to take pictures and the gates go up and everyone just passes you 312 and it was a party from the word go.
Damn.
It was good. And then like for people who don't drink 312, there was a nice list of beers in the back, like 8. So, okay. Like, there was a, Matilda, Sophie, the Muddy,
mm-hmm.
The Ten Hills Pale Ale, and My Shout. My Shout apparently is one of the Fulton and Wood beers. It's okay. They're calling it an Australian sparkling ale. So, it's basically a golden ale that uses champagne yeast.
Is that a new one? Did they do an event for it?
Yeah, they did an event for it, I guess. I missed the event, but they did an event for it maybe like 3 weeks ago.
Oh, I totally didn't even hear about that.
Super new. So apparently My Shout is it's what Australians do when they declare that the next round is on them. It's My Shout. That's what they say.
Okay.
And then they're buying the next round.
Oh, cool.
So it was good. And they had like 4 or 5 food trucks there. Food trucks were good because they were spread like across the street and, outside and inside. So there's never a big rush for anything. I thought these two events, the Stoutfest and this Fulton thing, were really well done as far as like crowd control and not overcrowded.
They're learning from their mistakes, I think.
Dude, the block party was a fucking mess. Yeah, it was almost like a riot. You would literally see like, this for the block party like 3 years ago during Chicago Craft Beer Week. You would see security come. They call security to come bring extra barricades when like Bourbon County Rare went on.
Yeah.
Like it was really a bit of a cluster.
So they're fixing things, making it work better.
They're growing, which is good to see. So it was cool, man. Awesome. I had a good time. Yeah.
On 312 Day, I had a hard time finding 312. I went to like the corner liquor store.
Yeah.
They didn't have any. They had like tons of other good stuff. I was like, but you know what? I got to drink some 312. So I had to go to another stop and it was like, geez. And I didn't even get any cans. I didn't even get those sweet tall boy cans. I had to get bottles.
The tall boy can does look good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tough life. Can't even find 312 in Chicago. What's going on here?
Yeah.
Well, anything else this past week, or should we jump into what's coming up?
Yeah, let's jump right into it.
Oh.
I got something for Thursday.
All right.
All right, let's go Thursday. Thursday, March 19th is Tap This Local 7 at Fishman's up on the northwest side.
Number was this?
This is number 7.
7, okay.
So they do these events where they dedicate all the taps to Chicago breweries. You know, so you'll see a lot of up-and-coming breweries and you'll see some established names, but every single beer will be from Chicagoland, we'll say. So Chicago and the burbs. You know, they do this a lot in, you know, we had a distributor come on the tour from Denver, and she's like, yeah, you know, I have to turn away a lot of business because a lot of bars in Denver won't sell beers that aren't made in Colorado.
Wow.
Right. And, you know, Wisconsin's the same way. You go there, you can see all Wisconsin
seems
bars.
Like that's discrimination.
What's wrong with these people?
You're not from around here. Get out.
Right. I mean, because, you know, the best beers aren't made in, like, one state.
Yeah.
So, you know, and we never do that here because we get everybody's beer. We're in the middle of the country.
Yeah.
You know, it's very competitive here. Oh, so you never see an All Chicago list. So that's the significance of Tap This. Okay. Local, the local version. They do Tap This every other week, but this is Tap This Local, which is all Chicagoland beers.
Nice.
So.
Yeah. What's on the lineup, Jim?
That's a great question.
Don't know.
No.
We probably got some Salmouth. We probably got some Three Floyds.
You know,
we probably got some Haymarket.
You know, we probably got some.
Oh, no, we don't have Haymarket. We got Half Acre.
Yeah, Half Acre. You probably got some of the super small guys, you know, probably. Like, we got Pipeworks. Pipeworks will probably be there.
Maybe some 1090. We're just naming the breweries.
Yeah, we're just naming all the breweries. The usual suspects. You might see Arcade Brewing there.
Oh, wow.
Might see Lo-Fi Rabbit there, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Awesome. So that's Thursday.
Yeah.
Oh, how about Friday?
I got nothing on Friday.
Yeah, it's a weird week, right?
We've seen like colder weather weeks that were jam-packed more so than this week.
Maybe it's the St. Patrick's Day stuff.
I think so. Because Brewbus didn't run this week either.
Okay.
It was like super chill this week.
It's quiet. So yeah. Saturday, we got Chicago Beer Festival at Union Station.
Yeah. So these are some guys.
Chicago Spring Beer Festival.
They do it in the Great Hall there at Union Station,
uh-huh.
Which is a beautiful space, man. It's like the perfect space for a party.
Right.
Yeah. I think these guys are from, they're the guys responsible for either like LA Beer Week or San Francisco Beer Week, like one of the two.
Mm-hmm.
They got West Coast roots, but they rent out this space once every quarter to throw a party, and they invite everybody.
Cool.
You know, like there's no like geographical boundaries. You'll see beer from all across the country there.
Right. This is one of those, like, I guess, newbie beer festivals.
It's
like,
definitely geared towards the noobs.
Yeah.
It's definitely geared towards people who, you know.
Want to get trashed,
and,
really.
You know, and get in pregame for Saturday night. You see a lot of that there. I mean, you'll see some reputable breweries there. We're talking about the folks that, you know, show up and rock there.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But a lot of time it's also the B-list teams are pouring or volunteers.
Yeah, that's actually a very good point. You know, traditional fests have, you know, the guys who make the beer there in most cases.
Uh-huh.
You know, but and then there's those fests that have, you know, volunteers or, you know, ambassadors.
Right. Pouring. But the beer is still great.
The beer's still there, though.
Who's pouring it? Who cares?
Nobody really cares after like five of them.
But they got two sessions going. There's the first one's from 1 to 4, and then the second one's from 6 to 9. And admission is $40, but tickets will not be sold at the door. So you can't just roll up.
Yeah.
You know, and be like, I want to get my drink on.
They want that cash. They want that cash in advance.
You got to go to thechicagobeerfestival.com.
Yeah.
So check that out Saturday, March 21st. Anything else on Saturday?
Nothing else on Saturday.
All right. How about Sunday?
Sunday, the 22nd, we got the Breakfast of Champions.
Oh, yeah. With Founders Brewing.
Yeah.
This is at Lynx, right?
Yeah, Lynx in Wicker Park.
Cool. So doors are going to open at 10:30, and they'll be selling tickets for CBS.
Yeah.
$12 cash only, CBS.
Straight cash, homie.
Yeah. 8-ounce pours, too.
8 ounces isn't bad.
For $12?
Ah. It's okay. That's okay. Like, it's not great.
Not maybe for 10 ounces.
Yeah.
8 ounces.
I didn't know it was 12 bucks for the 8 ounce pour, though.
I feel like should have just went $10 and you could just throw that down. 12 and it's cash only. You got to have singles.
Yeah, right.
It's a rough life. And it's only one ticket per person.
So they're doing so the breakfast stout series, if I got it right. I know there's an oatmeal stout. I don't know if that's part of it, but there's definitely a breakfast stout. There's a Kentucky breakfast stout.
Yeah.
And then there's Canadian breakfast stout. Yeah. So I'm assuming you'll see all three of these here.
Yeah. So CBS is going to be tapped at 11:30. Yeah. Then KBS is going to be tapped at 1:30. So that's no longer a breakfast, but that's a little afternoon
it's
snack.
It's a Kentucky breakfast.
But they'll also have breakfast stout, Mosaic Promise, Black Rye, All Day IPA, and plenty of other stuff.
Black Rye is a nice beer. Sometimes you get those black IPAs and they're a little too roasty. That hits a good balance point.
That's good.
It almost kind of dissipates. Like
I haven't had that, yeah.
It's solid.
And they're going to be featuring spent grain peace pancakes with breakfast stout chocolate drizzle.
Hmm.
So you got some pancakes going on at this Breakfast of Champions.
That's a party. And that space isn't very big, so that's going to fill up quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, on a Sunday?
Yeah. Good brunch spot, I guess.
Yeah.
That'd be good. How about anything else on Sunday or jump into the week?
I got nothing else on Sunday, man. We got Monday, the 23rd.
All right. What do we got?
We got the Neo-Futurists are having a fundraiser.
Okay.
Out at Lagunitas, the Chicagonitas, as the employees call it. It's Lagunitas and Neos equal awesome. So every Monday and Tuesday at the Lagunitas Chicago Tap Room, if you're a nonprofit, you can host a party there. And what they'll do is they'll give you the beer for free, allow you to sell it, and any money you make, you can donate towards your nonprofit.
Do we have a nonprofit?
I mean, I'm kind of feeling like we should have one after reading about this.
ChicagoBeerPass.org?
ChicagoBeerPass.org. It's for the kids.
For the kids. No, we're just trying to podcast for them. Anyway.
We need to work on that.
We need to.
And then once we get it, go to Lagunitas and say, listen.
We got
next. We're going to be. No, so the Neo Futurists, they run the Neo Futarium, if I'm saying that right. It's basically a theater company on the far north side, around the corner from Hopley.
Mm-hmm. They do Too Much Light Makes the Baby Go Blind.
Which is the longest running play in the history of Chicago.
Yeah.
That's a really good play.
It is good, yeah.
Yeah. So
it always changes, too.
Yeah. And in fact, two graduates from that program started at the Drinking and Writing Theater, which is Haymarket's theater company, essentially. Yeah. So they're doing a fundraiser for that group. Down at Lagunitas on Monday the 23rd.
What time does that kick off?
That is a 6 p.m. start.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then Lagunitas, what, closes at 9?
It closes at like 8:30.
Like, you can't get in after 8.
Dude, they seriously close like 8:39, and they're like, yo, last call was at 8:30, bro.
Yeah, so you gotta, if you're going.
Yeah, in fact, I think you should get there at like 5, you know? Because they do, during the week, a lot of people don't know this, they do free tours at Lagunitas, and their tour is ridiculous. So you pregame for the tour in the same space they do the nonprofits. They pregame for the tour for like 40 minutes.
Okay.
A 40-minute pregame, and then you go on a tour, and it's all like complimentary.
Nice.
No, a lot of people don't know that, but yeah, it's probably the best weekday tour in the city.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's just looking... I'm going to double check this time.
Oh, yeah, right? Because I just kind of came off the cuff with that. I don't know if it's at 6 for that Neos thing.
Oh, yeah, see, they close at 5 p.m. on Mondays.
Oh, they close at 5 because that's when the nonprofit starts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, in fact, they're closed on Mondays and Tuesdays. They're only open for this nonprofit thing on Mondays and Tuesdays.
Okay, huh. All right, and I believe, I'm not sure what time they end this at on Monday, but they are typically closed Monday and Tuesday. So if you've ever tried to go there on Monday and Tuesday and been closed, you've been greeted, like I have many a times. Sorry, man, we're not open. Go home. You've came all this way.
I've had visions of seeing Brad outside of Lagunitas with his hands up like, what do you mean you're closed?
But every other day, Wednesday through Sunday, they close at 9 o'clock. So I would guess that if this kicks off at 6... It's probably done at 9.
Yeah, that's a very good guess.
Yeah, but check that out. The nonprofit thing, I guess, happens every Monday. So, yeah, it's a good reason to check out the space when they're not usually open.
Yeah, the largest brewery in the history of Chicago, Lagunitas.
Cool.
Yeah.
I think that does it for all the events this week, right?
Yeah, that's it for events, man.
Well, we got a bit of news. We'd like to close out the show with some news now.
Good way to close out with a little bit of news, man. It's St. Paddy's Day in Chicago, everywhere. Happy St. Paddy's Day to everybody. Cobra Lounge is debuting their brewery today.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Awesome. So they have 6 beers on draft.
Cool.
Yeah.
What? Do you know what they got?
Yeah, we got them.
Or are we just going to make them up again?
No, we won't make them up. This time we won't make them up. This is real news this time.
We got the Cobra Ale, the Cobra Stout, the Cobra IPA.
Cobra Light. we got the Orange Wit, Robust Porter, Double IPA, a Pale Ale, a Root Beer on draft, and a Cold Brew Coffee.
Oh, okay. So they're brewing their own coffee there, huh?
Yeah, either that or they're serving someone else's, yeah.
Okay.
A little unclear. I was there just hanging out because I ended up at 18th Street last week. But I was supposed to go make soy candles.
Right, yeah. You were like pumped.
I was jacked for this soy candle class I had to sign up for. And those plans fell through, so I chilled at Cobra, and that's what we talked about.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah. So, cheers to those guys, because that's been, like, a legit, like, a year and a half.
Yeah, they still have that, like, fermenter in the parking lot.
Yeah, so I think all these beers and root beer and all this jazz, they're probably making that.
No, I think they've been brewing there.
You think they've been brewing?
Yeah.
Okay.
But they do have a fermenter just in the parking lot, like not hooked up to anything. It's just like, it's chilling. I think it's like too big for their space. Ordered it and they're like, oh shit, this doesn't fit.
It's in the parking lot with like a leather vest on.
Not sure what they're going to do with that.
Yeah, man. So.
But be working right around the corner, I'm sure I'll be over there maybe this week for lunch. I probably won't make it to this event today,
yeah,
but I'll probably make it over there sometime this week.
Yeah, so cheers to those guys, man, at All Rise Brewing is what they're called now. Yeah, which I think is like the name of like an album. They're closely affiliated to that fest, Riot Fest.
Yeah, that new space looks great. It makes the other space look like dark and trash. It's like, I don't want to even sit in here anymore. I want to go to like the space where the light comes in.
It's always inappropriately dark at Cobra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you sit down. If you sit down somewhere, you're like, I don't know if I should sit here. Oh, I don't know what
Somebody light a candle. What's going on here, man?
So that new space, it's well lit. The new bar over there looks great. The bathrooms, like the old bathroom was like, yikes. The new bathroom's like, holy shit, is this the same place? Like, it's too nice for Cobra Lounge.
It's a good looking space, man. It's a good looking space.
That's great.
All right, so. All right, second bit of news. Half Acre and New Belgium are doing another beer collab. So this is the second in the series of oatmeal IPAs that they're doing. So they made both of these beers out in New Belgium.
What was their first one? It was like a Mormon. It was a Mormon or a. What's an oak?
Yeah, you're right. It's a Voin. Which was Avoine, just means oats in French, apparently. That was the first beer. And then
Amish, right? Amish. It was Amish or something like that?
I don't know about that one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Mormon or Amish or something like that.
I do remember.
Maybe I'm thinking of a different beer.
Yeah. But, you know, New Belgium does collabs all over the place.
Yeah. Okay.
Too, you know, they got a zombie collab with Floyd's. They got a bunch of collabs, like, in large format bottles. They look pretty cool.
Huh.
This oatmeal stout oatmeal IPA. It's being described as a fruity tropical hot bomb, creamier than an IPA. Yeah.
Nice.
It's checking in at 6% with 60 IBUs. I'm surprised that they didn't make one of these at Half Acre. It sounds like they made both of these out in Fort Collins at New Belgium.
Okay, I guess maybe they just want to distribute it more than Half Acre can do.
Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. It's good for Half Acre, too, when people come to town. Name recognition.
There's probably a lot of people that have heard of Half Acre and haven't got a chance to try their beer.
Yeah. So that's in the news. 21st Amendment is coming to town. They picked a distributor. They kind of teased about this at that event at
Blackbird?
Where they didn't serve any Blackbird food, but it was at Blackbird at that event.
Oh, okay.
They hinted at it, but they didn't know who they were going through. They decided, like all the cool kids are nowadays, they're going through Windy City.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So they're going to be debuting this spring, man. They're bringing, looks like, a handful of beers. Hell or High Watermelon, Monk's Blood, Sneak Attack, which is a farmhouse ale with cardamom, Fireside Chat, which is their winter spice ale, and Brew Free or Die IPA.
No Bitter American?
No Bitter American.
Bitter American. That's so good.
Is it good?
That's a good one.
The only one I've had, actually, off this list is I've had Monk's Blood. I really like that.
Monk's Blood is good.
And Brew Free or Die, I've had that.
Okay.
And we were talking about how they don't have a canny line in San Fran.
No, they brew and can in Minnesota.
In Minnesota. So this is, you know, it's not an IPA coming from 7 states away. You know, they're just coming straight from Minnesota, right. Even though they're a California brewery. But yeah, they'll be coming to Chicago this spring. A lot of people are excited about that.
Yeah, I'm excited to see Sean O'Sullivan running around Chicago some. Great guy.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a character, man. And then finally in news, another brewery. Dude, Chicago is crawling with, like, national breweries, man.
Yeah.
So Sweetwater is coming to town.
Yeah, I think they kind of launch next week, right?
Yeah. So Sweetwater is the largest brewery in the Southeast. So they're finally making their way to
bigger
Chicago.
Bigger than Terrapin, right?
Yeah, okay. Bigger than Terrapin. Yeah. And they're bringing five beers. They've got an interesting concept called the Tackle Box. So you'll find their beer in bottles and cans on draft. And then they have Tackle Box, which is basically their variety pack.
Okay.
These are the beers they're bringing. And this is all through Lakeshore Beverage, the same crew that distributes, you know, Goose and a couple other breweries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got 420.
Yeah, 420 Extra Pale Ale. The Sweetwater IPA, Sweetwater Blue, which is, it looks like it's a...
It's like a blueberry. Ale kind of thing.
Like a breakfast beer. Take Two Pills, which is a German Pilsner.
Haven't had that one.
And then, and that's it.
Nice. I'm excited. 420 is a great beer when it's warm out. Blue, too. So it'd be nice to have them there. Be a nice... A lot of their beers are like easily drinkable, sessional beers. Besides their like Dank series, they do those like their big beers.
Yeah. And yeah, you brought up Terrapin. I mean, this has got to be, you know, in the back of their heads, you know, hey, it's just Terrapin, Cigar City. I mean, they could be next for distribution to Chicago. Who knows?
Right. You know? Man, Cigar City showed up. Damn.
Yeah.
People go nuts.
I know a lot of people that went down to Hunapu Day this weekend.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Crazy. And one more thing, you dug up or you got someone drunk and they told you. They spilled the beans, right?
Yeah, this is off the record. Nothing official has been said.
Off the record, but on the podcast.
Off the record, on the podcast, baby. Woo! There is a rumor that the defunct Goose Island Wrigleyville pub that closed maybe 6 months ago, closed forever, will be back open for the...
You can't keep Goose Island down. Any pub... That they're like, we're going to close. And they're like, oh, shit, people want to come, and they spend a bunch of money. We're back.
We're back. Yeah. So there is a strong rumor that Goose Island's Wrigleyville pub, literally across the street from Wrigley Field, will be open just for the 2015 Chicago Cubs season. And then it'll close again forever.
Possibly.
Until it opens again next time. But yeah, that was definitely a big topic at the Goose Stout Fest this weekend.
So for the whole season, not just when games are happening,
like every day, all season long.
Okay, so you can if you needed to go one more time, check it out if you needed.
I don't agree with this. Not that I had a vote or anything, but they had this amazing like all sales final, you know, goodbye party, and everybody came out of the woodwork. Like people that I never knew worked at Goose all came out and shared their story. And then it was like, okay, it's gone forever.
Yeah.
And now, oh, wait a second, we must still have the equipment, so now we're going to be back, you know.
Yeah, it must have been like, oh, we're not tearing this down. The other bars were like, well, we can't keep up with the influx of another, 200 people or so that Goose could hold.
Yeah, that's true. And that's a huge space. And I thought about Wrigley when I was at the Stout Fest because Goose Island's Clybourne patio is just called a patio. It's an indoor space.
Yeah.
But Goose Island Wrigley has like a legit outdoor patio that can fit like 100 plus people.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that would have been perfect that day.
So I guess a little strange, but good for anyone who likes going to the Cubs games and over there after games, before.
It's a developing story. Let's call it that.
Okay.
We don't know how certain it is, but there is a chance that Goose Wrigley will open for the Cup season.
Damn, sneaky.
Yeah.
Well, cool. I think that does it for this week's episode. But breaking news there at the end. Nick, if people want to find you, get in touch, how can they do it?
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And then I'm on Twitter at BRad. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter at Chicago Beer Pass. Website chicagobeerpass.com. All the episodes get posted there. Links to events we talk about, possibly some news stories, unless it's off the record.
The record on the podcast.
And our Facebook page, /Chicago Beer Pass. We share events there, photos, so check that out. And that'll do it for this week's episode. Thanks for listening.
Cheers.